Good evening, folks. Good morning, good afternoon, if you are listening to this on a later date. Welcome along. For those of you that are tuning in live, for you guys that are, do join in. Give us a shout out. Give Chris some grief because he's had yet another belter of a week. But, you know, let's get into it straight away. This past week, I'm going to be quite selfish here and say that I don't want to say I can predict the future, but I can predict the future. Last week, if you go back, I did call it out, and I was quite excitedly shouting that Jordan Spieth would win because it was his home state of Texas, and he was bloody excellent. But we will kind of come on to that and the runners and riders. Chaps, another really, really strong week from all of us. Out of 35 people, we had an 8th place finish, a 23rd place finish, and a 29th.
Strong.
Very, very strong showing. Mr. Wright, I'm coming to you first, buddy. How did it go? What happened?
I had one of those weeks where I stopped watching the golf on maybe like mid-Friday because I'm so angry at my team. It was a bit of a shocker. I knew it was a bit of a gamble with my let's call it a strategy, whatever you want to call it. It did not pay off. It was just... at one point I was like, okay, so I'm now fighting just to like keep level with Tim, and then at one point I was like, okay, well, that's now gone. Now I'm like, can I not finish bottom, because that would be lovely. And even that was, well, I was close to finishing bottom. So yeah, it was the only thing I can say is I think Dan O'Brien messaged me today saying he had 5 people miss the cut, so I wasn't that bad. But I'm not sure we've had a 5 person miss cut before, maybe once, I'm not sure.
That's pretty brutal.
That was a bit of a shout out on its own. Yeah, I'll go back and have a look at my team, but it was, where are we, to my entry. Here we go. You ready for this? Ryan Palmer did make the cut. I only had 2 players miss the cut, to be fair. It's just everyone who did had an absolute shocker. Like Davis did all right and then hit +4 on the final day. Everyone was just, you know, I was just average. Don't need to talk about it. Ryan Palmer, Brennan Steele, Davis, Kirk, Higgs missed cut, Knox missed cut. Done. See you later. Move on. Let's go to the Masters. Thank you very much. Plus, if we can just, Tim and I have had I just said this to Tim off air, we have to stop Ben from winning. He's running away with it at the moment, and this is absolutely ludicrous. I know all I can say is up until this week, he's had a lot of spare time. So he's probably doing lots of research. I'm really hoping he's been in lots of research. He's been looking at all the current form. And now he's actually back working. Maybe he'll have a little bit less time to focus on picking his team. And maybe Tim and I can kind of...
Well, you say that, but then the last few times... No, so yeah, the last few weeks since I literally won the event we did, like on like my second week or whatever in, and I won the whole thing. Since then, like that win, I'd done basically very little research on. Since then, I've done shit tons of research, and I've been pretty much bottom, like relegation form ever since. So yeah, sure. I think the research is overrated.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, shocker from me. Enough said, move on.
So if you couldn't gather from that, Chris was the one who came 29th out of us three, which means that Timbo came 2nd out of us and finished of 23rd place. How did you get on, Mr. Williams?
Yeah, to be fair, after the first 2 days, I was in a very similar mindset to Chris. I'll be honest, didn't see a huge amount of the golf this weekend anyway, just with it being Easter, and I played golf badly on Saturday. But you know what? I was rescued a little bit on the final 2 days, and was Corey Connors and Patton Kizzire led me to a little bit of mid-table mediocrity on the last 2 days, with them going a combined 16 under for their 3rd and 4th rounds. So well done them.
I was going to come on to this. Just make the cut. Patton Kizzire was outstanding.
He was on just fire. He was 7 under on the final day, and Connors was 5 under on the 3rd day. So it was a bit of an annoying one, because I sort of singled those 2 out, and they obviously did have it. They just kind of left themselves a little bit too much work to do. Doug Gim, I've given him a chance. He's really not repaying my faith. He's literally clinging on to bare threads of hope with my team because he finished 44th, did make the cut, but being two over through the first 3 days, that's not going to pull up any trees. Lashley and Finau with big news, like just nowhere near, missed the cut completely. Finau, after like, you know, we were talking about him about a month ago and he was absolutely flying and he just seems to have absolutely fallen off a cliff in the last 4 weeks. You know, great build up to the Masters yeah. for him, so well done. I could just see like his percentage of like people picking him is just probably just gonna over the last month.
Well, I think I read something prior to last week. He was only in the field for the Valero Texas Open because he felt like he wasn't in form and felt like Texas is San Antonio is a tough enough course that it would help him get his eye in, get some form ready for Augusta. But no.
Bad move, Tony.
Right, and then
he's confirmed that he's not in good form. So maybe he was doing what we're doing, getting out of all the bad shots early on. You know, like you do at the range, and you get all your bad shots out of the way. Maybe that's what he was doing in Texas.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, the Masters, you know, every single one of the top players in the world is going to be there, including someone who I have no idea how he's even going. But Brooks Koepka's announced that he's playing. It's insane. Like at the moment, it's like 20 days after surgery, which is absolutely nuts. Yeah. So if you do see him in the DraftKings lineup, he is going to be there. So you can pick him. And like he said, look, I'm here to win. I'm not here to make up the numbers. If I didn't think I would win, I just wouldn't be here because there'd be no point. Typical Brooks Koepka kind of straight bat answer like you'd expect. Interesting to see how he gets on, that's for sure. I, for one, am not going near him. Despite being an avid Brooks fan, I think it's just way too close to his operation for him to do any real damage. Anyway, kind of back to last week. So I finished off with 387 points. So that was enough for eighth place. It was looking good at one stage to potentially get another placing in the Champions League spot. But alas, it did not happen. Jim make the cut. Furyk was absolutely pants, as is always the case. So whenever you call someone, I've got him in the team just to make the cut. Plus eight. Thanks, buddy. Good. Really good. So
Ben, can I ask you a question here? What has been your, genuinely interested here, strategy? Is it pick two worldies, two like people that you're like, if they don't even make the cut, it doesn't really matter? Is that kind of what, because you said last time you go one high, one low, one blah, blah, blah. Is that how you do it?
Yeah, but it's always been pretty much based around get my favourite big hitter in there. Okay. And then make up the numbers from the bottom guys. It's not like it was a case of pick the best of the bad bunch, if you want to call them that. This is PGA Tour pros too much. But it's always been get my favorite big hitters in, and then we'll find someone who I'm like, yeah, I can deal with that. I can deal with potentially missing a cut. And then that was my other one. My other one from the basement pick was Akshay Bhatia. He missed the cut by one shot, which gamble didn't pay off. He was four under on day one, though. At one stage, finished on even, but it was looking really good. And then unfortunately fell away. One thing I did think come the end of the weekend, really gutted I didn't book Charlie Hoffman. He's one of those players every week. I just kind of scroll and I stop and I'm like, seems good value because he's always, you know, this week had a great week and it was near the top, but he's always seems to do something in golf tournaments. So might be interesting to see what he does this week. Right, overall.
Before we move on, just quickly. Oh, wait, are you going to do a recap of this weekend before you go?
Yeah, I was going to do the winners. So, review of the Sunday Reds leaderboards in the $2 league. Gary Larkin takes the win on 471.50. That's a pretty healthy total. I mean, that was, what, 90 ahead of me around that. So we won't say about you, Chris. That's fine. Chris Wells comes in second place. And is tied with Tim Horan on 454 points, which...
How'd you get a tie?
Yeah, which is nuts.
How'd you get a tie? This is mental.
Six different players and the scoring formatting and how many points you can clock up. You know, 454 points and to tie is nuts.
Go on. I was going to say, we've got a comment here that I want to read out that is tying in nicely with the theme of this today's pod. Blake wants to know, and I'm going to answer this now, Blake. The answer is no. Blake wants to know if any of us have been to the Masters. We have not. I don't think our media coverage quite covers the invite to get an invite to the Masters. However, if we dramatically increase our listener base, maybe one day we will get to go. I mean, we probably could pay to go, theoretically. I'd rather be invited as media, though. That'd be quite cool.
That would be pretty cool, yeah.
So, no, but we'd love to. Like,
if you know anyone who could get us an invite, that would be, yeah, that would be
absolutely.
Yeah.
And then in the free league, guys and girls, Gary Larkin again took the win. Chris Wells second, and then DG Kerlock 1988. Chris stitched me up a little bit with that one.
I couldn't find who it was. I tried.
Finished on 410.5 points. Now we are, unless you live under a rock, and if you are a golf fan, you will know that one of the biggest golf tournaments in the world is taking place this week. So as we head into the Masters, gentlemen, just an update for everyone. The Slice of Golf Power Rankings. Chris bringing up the rear with 5 points. Two in second place is Tim on 7 points. And me with a delightful 17 points so far. So that's 3 points for a win, 1 point for second, and then zero for last.
I'll tell you what it's like. Shall I tell you the feeling? The feeling of being on 5 points right now is what I imagine it feels like to lose 5-0 to West Brom. Is what I imagine it feels like. That's where I'm at right now.
Oh, don't worry, I switched off a long way before the whistle on the weekend.
I thought you were going to go down the line of like the Sunderland Till I Die sort of documentary.
Oh my word!
Best played plan. Everything's looking great, and then like two events into the season, it's
just... I'm on fire. I'm on a blaze of fire heading towards the ground. Yeah, I need to get some more wins on the board. Simple as, and Ben needs to come last. Tim, we have to sort this out.
I mean, now's a very good time to start with major season coming up. Although I would say, I mean, it's always going to be great to pick a win, but I think when we name our teams in a sec, it's going to prove to be even more difficult to say which one of us has the strongest team, because each one of us is going to be able to fill out our star-studded lineup here. Because for anyone who's on the DraftKings app, you will know that the budget stretches on this one. You get a really nice team. So Timothy, for the Masters in 2021, who are you going with, Val?
So,
and also, do you remember we made the 2021 predictions on who we thought would win the tournament?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Did you factor that player in?
I have not. I can't even remember who I picked.
Okay.
You know what? This is mildly embarrassing that I absolutely forgot to consult my own list of predictions I made at the start of the year.
But yeah, I have.
Actually, you know what? Having just looked at it, the person I predicted whenever we recorded the podcast, I mean, that must have been about 4 months ago, is in my team.
And he is in good form as well.
Can you read it out? Can you read them out? I want to know what our predictions are.
So yeah. my pick for the Masters was Xander Schauffele. Tim was Justin Thomas. And Chris was Colin Morikawa.
No, JT, all day. Yeah.
Yeah. Go on, Tim.
So I was saying to Chris before we started recording this that half my team I'm super happy with, and half my team I've literally chopped, changed, thrown out, then brought back in again, because they've been basically interchangeable with three other people, and I've left out three names who I now feel are basically going to go on and finish in the top 10. I'm pretty sure of it, just because I've not selected them. So I'm actually going to tell you who I didn't include so that everyone can laugh, point at me and tell me what idiot I am.
Yeah,
right?
I like that.
I have a similar situation, which I'll do for mine.
So the three players I've left out, and you'll be surprised by the first one, I've left out Morikawa.
Yeah.
Which, for anyone who listens to the podcast, you'll know that that's a shocking decision for me, because I basically love him. Tommy Fleetwood, I've left out, and I really agonized over that.
Yeah.
And Adam Scott, I thought really long and hard about including Adam Scott, but in the end, I just thought, I've just gone all out. I've followed the form, is what I've done.
I don't think those are bad leads.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I have to admit, there was one switch that I made. I had Adam Scott in the team. The only switch I made, I took Scott out and put someone else in, which we'll come on to in a minute.
So So anyway, let's get into it. So I think I've also said to Chris that at least two of my picks will definitely be in both of your teams as well, I reckon, for sure. So I said, no surprise with my number one pick, Justin Thomas. 100% has to be. He's actually I'm literally putting him on money for the weekend because I just feel of the big, big, big top-ranked players, he's the one that stands out because he's a bit of a last man standing, really, because DJ's form hasn't been great in the last few months. Rory is obviously having a world of troubles with his swings at the moment. He's employed a swing coach. Brooks is basically on one leg. Bryson, however much he says it, he simply cannot beat up this golf course. He can't. He needs to have more to his game than he's practicing to dominate this golf course. And it's not there for him yet. Rahm just had a baby. I think that's going to potentially take his focus off it. So he's the last man standing of the really, really big top names. Also, I think if you want players that have already had a bit of adversity and have had to overcome a bit of stuff already to get to there, JT's already been through that and come out the other side. So I just think he's in absolute pole position for this weekend. Mm-hmm. After that, I think you have to pick him. Spieth has to be in there. Simply has to be. We said he was going to get a win before long. He got his win last weekend. A win in his home state, that's got to feel pretty awesome. And again, his form for weeks has been really, really, really strong.
Ridiculous. When they showed his, you know, past six tournaments or something, yeah, it's outrageous.
Yeah. He's done it here before. I think there's every chance he can go and do it again.
So my only thing with this, and Tim, this is, you and I mentioned this off air before Ben joined us, picking players that everybody is going to have. Good idea, bad idea.
I've just gone pure best possible lineup I can field this week is how I've gone it. I've thought of nothing else.
And because of that, I would say to I think it's a good idea because there's a high chance that those players are going to be in a lot of other lineups. And if they do go well and they do go on to win the tournament and you've kind of tried to be clever and left them out, well, sorry, bud. Toast.
Fire in your face. Yeah.
Third pick for me, Paul Casey. He was right there in contention last time out in November.
Yeah. Very different tournament in November, though. Very different.
It is, but his form has been good in... He was good in the Masters in November. He was good in the Middle East. He's backed it up. I think Augusta really suits him. So he was a big pick for me. After that, and then my next pick, who I feel is a very good pick, and again, looking at form, and I don't think anybody has had, with the exception of maybe Morikawa, a better 18 months than Will Zalatoris.
Oh, good man. He's finally on the Will Zalatoris bus. Here he goes.
I think it's ridiculous. His streak of form like dates back literally like 6 months plus.
Yeah.
And he's a big hitter. Augusta does work for big hitters, but he's like I said with Bryson, he's got more to his game than just hitting big. Yeah. So he goes in.
So Will Zalatoris, apart from by me on this podcast, does not get talked about enough.
Like, yeah.
There is no, you watch any of like the highlights and they're like, oh, this is Will Zalatoris. I'm like, the dude has like finished top 25 in every tournament he's played this year. Like, this kid is on fire. Talk about this guy more.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the final two were the ones that I was really umming and ahhing about this week, but I've eventually settled on them. Billy Horschel.
Well, Arthur, he said he was going to get the Grand Slam. You thought, yeah, he did.
Yeah, I didn't particularly favour that comment, but again, if you look at his form.
Yeah.
Form, like he's quite openly saying he is desperate to make the Ryder Cup team. So when you give someone who is as fiery as and competitive as he is, given the form that he's been in, yeah, I quite like the Horschel pick. Yeah. He can blow up and it could go the other way, but I quite like him to have a good week this week.
It's on that. It's going to go. It'll literally go aggressively one of two ways.
Yeah.
Horschel, he's either going to have like a second or third round complete implosion and go like five over and be done, or he's going to be there or thereabouts until the final day. It's one or two.
Okay. All right.
And the final pick for me is Abraham Ancer.
Ah, oh, crap. Okay.
again, ripe contention up in November. I know it's a different competition in November, but I think there's a lot to be said for having been there before and kind of, you know, done pretty well there. That speaks volumes. And again, form's good. So that's my lineup.
That's, again, it's, I know it's, you know, everyone is there, so the budget is going to stretch a little bit further, but that is a ridiculous lineup. And I think every single person is going to fancy their chances this week, as I'm sure you probably do after selecting that. Mr. Wright?
Yeah, the reason I said crap when Tim said answer is because you've mentioned a couple of players there which I had in my team and then...
You've taken them out, haven't you?
I feel like I've come to the conclusion that as soon as I hit draft a player, I now should not remove them from the team. So I basically picked my team and I'll do the same. I'll tell you the two players that I removed. So Ansa was one of them. I was like, let's move him out. The other one that I owned and on about for ages, because I had $400 left in my pick. I was like, how have I got $400 left? Like, what do I want to change someone? I kept looking at the different players who I could bring in. And the only switch that I wanted to make, and it was Casey, and I've moved Casey out. However, I'm terrified by that decision, and I've swapped him in for Fitzpatrick. So Fitzpatrick has come in, Casey out. That was the increase that I could afford, and I'm really unsure on that. But I like them both. Like I think they'll both be there, or you know, a similar level. So, but in at the top, I agree with you. Rams had a kid. He's either going to go to one of two ways. He's either going to smash it out because he's got this new inspiration, he's got the kid, and he's going to be absolutely, or he's had no sleep for 4 days because he's been up with the kid and he's going to be an absolute shocker. So I thought, a bit risky, leave him out. And there was one player that I saw an interview of earlier in the week, and I was like, I have to pick him. I have to pick him, and that's Patrick Campbell. And I just saw an interview with him on yesterday, and they were like, what do you, you know, how do you feel? What are your learnings? What are you bringing into this week? And he just spoke with he's like, I feel like I'm coming into this week with a very different approach. He's like, yeah, I've learned that there are shots that the course wants you to hit, but, and you just can't hit it. And he's like, and he started talking through like three or four different holes. He's like, it wants you to hit a fade. You cannot hit a fade there. Just don't even try it. And I was like, interesting. He's talking like he was basically saying, as long as my discipline is okay, and he goes, and I follow my rules and I follow my guidelines that I've set myself. I was like, okay, I want, and the way that he was speaking, I was like, I'm going to pick you. So he actually went in first. So Cantley went in first. Then I followed that. So Cantley is my most expensive player at 9,800. I don't have a JT. I don't have a DJ. I don't have a Rahm or anyone. So Cantley is my most expensive player. Spieth comes in next. I was like, how can you not pick him after last week? Watch him miss the cut this week and we're all buggered. Fitzpatrick, Daniel Berger, been playing really consistently, really, really well in the big tournaments where he won the AT&T Pebble, but there was a few people missing, but ninth at the Players, just been playing some good solid golf, so wanted to put him in. Will Zalatoris, he's almost like, he's genuinely almost a first pick for me at the moment. I'm like, if you want someone who, I'm not going to say it, but if you want someone who's going to play reasonably well all weekend, get him in your team. Actually, no, don't. Everyone listening, don't put him in because I need to finish. I need to get some like height on the leaderboard. And then my final pick, which I couldn't believe that I could get for 6,900, Corey Connors, who's been playing really, really well. He finished, I know it was in November, I said that to him, but he finished 10th at the Masters in November. So good form coming in. He was 7th at the Players, 3rd at the 8th at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, 14th last week. Like, he's playing some good golf. I've done zero research in terms of like what you should be looking for in players. Like, I haven't looked at which course, I haven't looked at courses, I haven't looked at strokes gained or anything like that. So no research this week, just who I liked and who I fancied, really.
Yeah, I've done equal amounts of research just based on the fact that we submitted our teams yesterday and I was in the midst of a mother of all hangovers. They probably cracked the all-time top five, so I was just sat there like, yeah, this seems like a good team. I quite like this. Now, I just, the bit that fills me with a little bit of hope from both of your two teams, I just remember, I think I listened to a podcast with Mark Leishman on it prior to the Masters in November, and I think it was, I may be absolutely butchering this stat, but I think I remember him saying he felt good going into the tournament because he'd played it enough times, and the sweet spot for players performing at the Masters, their typical best performance doesn't happen until they've hit years 7, 8, and 9 of going back to the Masters. So if you're looking at Will Zalatoris, who's it's his first tournament, Corey Connors probably not been there too many times. I'm looking at, I've gone, you guys have got some younger guys in there, whereas I've got a little bit more experience, which this is where I have chances.
I actually agree with you. I don't think no one who's turning up for the first time is not going to win.
No.
I mean, obviously, I can't predict the future like Ben can, but that doesn't happen generally at the Masters, right? So I'm not, and I don't think Will Zalatoris.
Didn't Adam Scott win it when he was like 23?
Yeah, but that's like saying, you know, that's an outlier to any rule in it. You're always going to find the odd one or two. It's just the average, you know, the average peak of any player's career is going to be after playing Augusta.
But I did go through and look at players that had been there at least 2 or 3 times, for sure.
Yeah, so I kind of underdog, and I was like, sorry, I'm going to stick with my pick that I predicted prior to the year. So I picked Xander Schauffele, so put Schauffele straight in there. So he was my highest pick for 10,000. Obviously picked Jordan Spieth. So that makes the full set for all three of us, for obvious reasons. I know he did very, very well in November, and it's someone we always talk about who just seems to play well. Cameron Smith, I know it's at a different time of year, but yeah, just saw him at 8,200, thought I quite like that. Yep. So the player that I switched in for Adam Scott, so Adam Scott went out and I brought in Paul Casey. So
yeah,
okay. 7,700, I thought that's good.
I'm now pleased that I've switched him out, and I mean this because I if we all have the same players, it's too difficult for us to actually separate on the leaderboard. So I'm now pleased that I haven't picked him.
Right.
You won't be saying that on Sunday night.
Yeah, like, when he wins it, I'm like, ah, shit.
Really yeah. And then one player, it just seems to do well. I may just be imagining this, but I swear to God, I feel like he does well at the Masters each time. Probably not going to win it. I'm going to say he won't win it, but I always feel like he's just going to be up there because he's just such a great ball striker. And I went Louis Oosthuizen, 7,500. Keeps the ball in play, makes very few mistakes, and hopefully you get him into the top 10. And then final one, same as you, Tim, I went Billy Horschel. I kind of sort of sung his praises earlier on. Mm. And again, that was my kind of, I feel like Horschel was that little bit of a risky pick because
he could blow up.
Because if he gets inside his own head and starts having a wobbly, then he looks a very upset man. But if he's on like he was at the match play.
But you two have got 3 players each the same.
Mm.
Spieth, okay. Casey, and Horschel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. 1-2 for Fowlis and Williams again, it is then. Lovely. Can't wait.
I would never normally do this. I would never normally comment on another player's team in advance. So this is very unusual, but I am going to go out on a limb. Chris, I think you've gone a bit budget this week, if I'm honest.
Okay.
But you know what? You know, at this point of the week, I always come out and give it the big one. So I've probably just absolutely done myself over there.
When you say I've gone a bit budget, you know we all have exactly the same budget, right?
Yeah, but I think you've prioritised...
The lower end players.
The lower end players is what I'm
saying. But Ben's most expensive player was 10 grand and mine was 9.8.
Look, I don't know the future any better than you. And clearly, I'm no better at predicting this than you because we've both been utterly toilet.
That has surprised me for Ben. I thought Ben would go with DJ or someone and just knock off 11,500 or whatever it was going to cost for DJ.
I started looking at those and I was just like, based on recent form, as much as November wasn't that long ago, he's not been great the past month and a half, 6 weeks to, 8 weeks. So
I am stunned that neither of you two have picked JT. I really am.
He was a pick that I would have put in. I just had to put Camp May in.
So for me, I wanted to put JT in. He was my number one pick, but then I saw who I predicted would win it, and I was like, "Well, I can't really go against that." So let's get Schauffele in. JT, sorry, buddy, he's gone. But no, I actually do think the week of the tournament, I think it's JT's. JT's.
I agree. If I was going to make a prediction, I would call JT for sure. And that's why I have not included him in my team.
Yeah, all your preseason predictions. So interesting tactic from Mr.
That was a long time ago. That was 4 months ago or whatever, wasn't it?
Yeah, they got back.
Do you have him in to win one of them? I'm sure I had him in to win something.
You had him down to the PGA.
Okay. Thank Still you. Time.
Still time. Right, gentlemen, anything to add?
No, I would love to hear people's teams. So if you're tuning in,
yeah,
give us a list. Tell us who your six picks are. Oh, we've got a question. You ready for it? I'll see if I can bring this up on screen. What are the thoughts on Jason Day?
He'll be there the whole way through. I think he'll be there till Sunday. My feeling is Jay Day.
I think there are better.
He either starts very well and fades, or he'll start very slowly and get better. But I think one way or another, he'll give himself too much to do. I think he's not quite there at the moment. And quite simply, there are just too many other players in front of him that I think right now are just a better pick.
And that, and by the way, that I should have said his name. That's from Andrew, who's sent that one in.
Good question.
And what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to get it up now just so I can see his price. But I
remember trying to get it up now.
I'm trying to get DraftKings up now just so I can see his price, because I remember scrolling through it thinking, yeah, I do like Jason Day, and you know, he's again, just it might be just me thinking it, but I swear he's always done pretty well there. But he's in that price range, so he's wedged in between Oosthuizen and Adam Scott. So he's almost the same price as Paul Casey, $100 less than Adam Scott, Oosthuizen, Neiman, Ansa, Zalatoris. You were talking about that range, and I fancy. Unfortunately, I'm going against you both here. I think Zalatoris will end up the worst out of them, just due to experience.
Yeah, okay, fair.
I would say any of those over. I would say any of those over Day. You know, like I said, it's Casey, Adam Scott, Oosthuizen, Neiman, Ansa. Top players around him there.
I agree. It would be a tough pick within that group. Not to give anything away from. Well, actually, I'm going to give it right away. In the podcast, in the main pod, which will be released a day later than this one, we're going to talk about our picks for outside the top 50. Jason Day is number 52 currently. So if you're looking for us, we're looking for outside bets. Jason Day is outside the top 50. And really hard to pick people outside the top 50, because there's not that many people at the Masters outside the top 50, by the way. But that is someone who, if you were like, you have to pick someone who's outside the top 50, I wouldn't rule him out. But I don't think he's going to win it. And I would struggle to put him ahead of Neiman, Ansa, Casey.
I think at that price range, you're looking at someone who's going to be a top 10er. Hopefully get into the top 10 and maybe do something there.
You're going to be top 25.
You're probably not talking about someone who's going to win it, but so that's where it's a case of I would fancy others over Jay Day for me.
Yeah,
Andrew reckons, he goes, it's his putting I feel could do well on them greens, and I don't disagree. I think this is going to sound really silly, if you can, the players that can get to the green well, you're. It's going to sound really silly, but the players that can get to the green, if they're having a good day putting, they'll fly. They'll do really well. Whereas people who, I think if you're struggling from tee to green, I think you're going to put yourself into it. You put a lot of pressure on the putting on that. And I think you're right. I don't think, Andrew, I think if you can get there and play from tee to green well, and his putting does well, then for sure. But who knows?
That's where I was going to say to you, I like your shout, Chris, of switching out Casey for Fitzpatrick. Just based on his putting. His putting is ludicrously good. So I've got a feeling Fitzpatrick will have a good week.
And that's it, right? That's the only thing that they've both been playing really well this year. Like, again, Casey not getting enough chat. Like, he's had a lot of top 20s, a lot of top 10s this year, I think. Been playing really well. But Fitzpatrick, I just think, we'll see.
I like it. We will see.
On budget, so we'll see you for next week.
We will see. And, you know, when you're listening to this, we are recording it on the Tuesday night. So we have got two days to wait, and we're at the Masters. So, it doesn't seem like long ago we were watching the Masters. And I know it wasn't that far, but it's exciting. Really, really good week. So whoever you end up picking, good luck. Hopefully not too much luck that you cane us too badly. And we'll check on kind of how we do next week. Anything more to add, chaps?
One more. We've got a comment which I'll just answer right now. Are we going to have a Facebook room for the tournament? I'm going to level with you. I have no idea what a Facebook room does.
Sounds very magic. Like,
I think it's a live video feed. So, and I think you're limited to a certain number of people. But I'll have a look at that and I will let you know. I'll put a post in the group at some point for sure, because I just don't know what it is. So I'll have a look at that and let you know.
Nice. Cool. All right. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Awesome. Cheers.
See you later.